Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Amen.
Feel an empty feeling, cause strength isn't all it's stealing. You're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yeah.
They said she was in the last stages of it, and her doctor told her to go home, and get her house in order.
Yeah.
But she wrote this song. She lived years after this.
Amen.
She wrote this song about 4 or 5 months after she heard all this. But this just shows you God's with us.
I mean, That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Today I face a mountain that I had no strength to climb. For the struggle of this journey's left me weak, both in body and in mind.
Bless you, Brandon.
Where I stand to the peak is a distance on my own I cannot reach. So this journey of 1,000 steps begins right here on my knees.
Amen.
Soon I'll soar like a
Praise the Lord.
Somewhere in the heavens, where I can almost see God's face, rising in His splendor to heights I've never knew. What once looked like a mountain, just a hill.
That's right.
Heaven's point of view.
Right.
I may not face tomorrow some things I can't comprehend.
That's right.
Circumstances so uncertain make it hard to find the strength to pray. But I'm living in the promise. I'll never leave you. I'll always see you through.
That's right.
Right.
So what this mountain to an eagle flying high?
That's right.
From heaven's point of view.
That's right, heaven's point of view.
Soon I'll soar like an eagle.
Think about it.
High on wings of grace. Far into the heavens.
Right.
Where I can almost see God's face. Rising in His splendor to heights I've never knew.
Amen.
What once looked like a mountain's just a hill.
Amen.
In heaven's point of view.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Jared. Got one more.
Got another?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Sharon's not going to let this ride this morning. She wants some
morning
yonder.
Good.
I love
this song. All
right.
Praise the Lord.
I love this song, and I believe everybody gets a blessing out of it.
Amen, Sister Sharon.
Yes, that's right.
So you have to do what the Lord
tells
you.
That's right.
Amen, that's right.
The Spirit of the Lord is a liberty.
Yeah.
They obeyed the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, I don't want to miss a thing. I like that song, that Aretha song first there. Yeah. House full. I like that song, that Aretha song first there. Took her a minute to get it going. There's a movie called Clancy. Has anybody ever heard of that movie? It's a little girl. She lives on the streets. She don't have no family. And she makes friends with this veteran. And he's arrogant and disrespectful. And she loves the Lord. I mean, she even turns thanks over a tater chip. I mean, they don't have nothing to eat. They're trying to make the best of it. She's trying to share her tater chips with him. And he's arrogant. I don't want none of your tater chips. He said, okay. Turn thanks on it. And she's wanting to tell him about Jesus. That's what Rita was singing about. Tell him about Jesus. And a little girl gets killed at the end of the movie. They're trying to kill this veteran. This is kind of a movie, if you know what I mean. But this corrupt mayor is trying to get elected. He makes up this story about this veteran kidnapping this girl. And they're trying to save the girl's life from him. And they end up killing her. It's a movie, but it's a good movie, and it'll leave you with a tear in your eye. She did win him to Jesus, I'll tell you that. And then right after that, Brenda sung that song about the woman having a cancer, got a bad reply, got bad news about her cancer, and I thought about this scripture. She'll sing that song. All the promises of God in Jesus are yea and amen. I mean, I'm just telling you, if God promises you something, it's as good as in the bank. I was listening to a preacher preach this week. I think it was Adrian Rogers that was driving home. And he was just elaborating on this man died and got to heaven. And he's sitting there talking it over like the last song he sung. He was talking it over with the Lord in this illustration that David Jeremiah was given. And there was a great big filing cabinet over. And he said, Lord, what's that big filing cabinet over for? And the Lord said, oh, that's just all the blessings I wanted to give you that you never did ask for. And that's about true with all of us, if you know what I mean. The Bible said we have not because we ask not. But he done a good job bringing that across. He said, oh, that's just all the blessings I wanted to give you that you never did ask for. And you know, we see in part, know in part. And most of the part we even see, we kind of ignore, we get, I don't know, sidetracked, busy with other things. But today is the day that God's given us. Amen. Looks like we made pretty good use of it, amen.
Amen.
We got new chairs here in the church. It looks to me like we fill up quite a few of them, Brother Ed.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. We're trying to grow a little bit. And the Lord's blessing our effort. Me and Brother Ed, bless his heart, we drove a long ways to get these chairs, but it's a blessing. It was worthwhile. We finally found a U-Haul truck. It was anyway. We went to almost two states to find a U-Haul, but we got one. Got them up here. Got them all moved in. The biggest part was we got the old pews out. We got the Amish to help us with that task. But I was glad to see them gone. Ed was glad to see them gone. We're still feeling the effects of that. But good to have everybody here this morning. Good to see Denny and Sue.
Yes.
They showed up unannounced, and I'm glad to see them anytime they show up, but they said they spent the night in Bowling Green. Well, maybe their new house, if I understood them right. They're moving to Bowling Green. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, glory. And good to see Larry and Carol and Leroy. She went in the backbucker. Good to see them. Hey, we're trying to grow. It takes you to grow. Amen.
Right.
We need everybody we can. Good to have Brenda's grandson with her. Is it Will? Is that right? Will, good to have Will with us this morning. I'm glad for everybody. Well, Jordan, I didn't even see you in case. I'm just thinking, so I wish Jordan Case was there. There's Johnny. Who you got with there, Johnny?
This right here is Sierra.
Sierra?
Sierra. Yeah, she's a friend of the family.
Amen. It says how blind I am. I'm looking for Casey, there they are. There's Johnny. He said I'm gonna bring somebody with me there. Sierra, did I get that right? All right, Sierra, good to have you. Yeah, like I said, we're just trying to grow a little old country church. As y'all can tell, we done knocked the wall out, Brother Ed did. He done knocked the wall out back there. We just trying to make room for more. And if more come, I guess we'll just make more room. But right now, we've got a few empty seats, so we got a little while before we got to do anything more. And I want to thank everybody for coming today. We're going to be taking our text out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews this morning. I was telling Donnie kind of like what I was going to be preaching on. And he said, where are you going to take your text from? I said, I don't really know. There's a lot of good texts that could go with this message. But we'll take our text from Hebrews chapter 12. And for sake of time, we'll just read two verses. Verses 5 and verses 6. And the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, and ye, which is plural for all of you, in other words, all of you, have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And here's our text verse, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he's my father now. And he loves me now. He loved me before. Yeah. But loves me even more now because I'm one of his sons. Right. And if you're one of his daughters, he loves you even more because you're one of his daughters. We'll go to God in prayer. And I'm preaching today on lessons on love. And that's pretty much what Jesus did the whole time he was down here, is he tried to teach this world how to love one another, and we failed miserably at it. But pray with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. Privilege, Lord, to brag on your son, to preach from your word. Lord, we just call upon you today for strength and help. Pray you fill my home with oil. Pray you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive and understand. Lord, the great truths of your word, I pray you'll visit our hearts during this service, Lord. And Lord, I pray we'd all assure ourselves to you in a truthful way, Lord, that you might have, Lord, free course, Lord, to speak to us individually. And for all these favors, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, I'm preaching on lessons on love. And Jesus is the greatest picture of love there is. But when I talk about whom the Lord loves, he chastens, we can go way back in time. The very first man that was ever created, his name was Adam. His name means red man because he was taken out of the clay. So the very first man racially was red man. Now we all tore up day by color. And I only know one race. That's the human race. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But, you know, let man get have his way with it. Next thing you know, we're everything but a race. But anyway, God made this man, Adam, and he put him in a garden, and he gave him one commandment. Now, you know how it is you tell a child not to do something, they're headed that way while you're telling them don't do that. I still remember touching the stove. Mama said, don't touch that, it's hot. And I'm reaching for it, Tammy. And it burnt my finger. And I went over, Mama, it burned, it hurts. Kiss it, you know. But that's the way we are. We'll do anything except what we're told. Something wrong here. I don't know what it is. I mean, the Bible says mischief is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And my mom and my dad, they loved me enough. They did correct me, and I love them more for that than they've done for me. But God gave Adam this one commandment. He said, Adam, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge. Now somebody made it into an apple tree. Right. It actually don't say anything about the fruit at all. I know it says they eat of it, but God called it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know what kind of, if it had a fruit on it or not. But anyway, God told them, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And he told him, why not? He said, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now Adam may not have known what death was, but he found out what it was. And anyway, there here they are, one commandment, the serpent comes down there, beguiles Eve, next thing you know, she's eaten of that tree. He beguiled at her, he lied to her, he told her a lie like they're doing us today. We're being lied to like I never seen in my life. You fact check some of this stuff, you won't swallow every lie. You'll do like they did in Acts chapter 17. Them Bereans were more noble than them in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And, Johnny, they searched the scriptures whether those things were so or not. In other words, they put the check on it. Now, you got a lot of people today that are prospering because their lies are going over. As a matter of fact, they call now the big lie. Was that Trump somehow won the election last November? And I don't want to get political. They don't like it on Facebook. But there probably is a big lie. I'm just not sure that's it. Could be the other way around. But anyway, I'll let that go and I'll chase that rabbit. Eve did eat of that tree, and her eyes were open. She's no longer innocent. She knows she's naked. You know, first thing, you know, when I was in school, you remember when you done something wrong, you tried to get somebody else to do it so they wouldn't feel so bad about it?
Yeah.
I did that. I got an honest person right here, she said, yeah. Because if you could get somebody else to do it, you didn't feel so bad of what you had done, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Because, see, they done it. And then you feel a little better about, well, at least I'm not alone. I don't know how it works. But anyway, Eve took and gave to her husband. And for what it's worth, the Bible said Adam was not deceived. Now, she was deceived. But his motivation was love for his wife.
Amen.
That God told him she was going to die. He didn't want to live without it. He pictures Christ in this transgression. But God does tell us in Romans chapter 5, that Adam was not deceived in the transgression on Eve. His motivation was love, Brother Eric. He didn't want to live without his wife, Eve. So he, and they both realized he's naked, and they done the fig leaf. The very first religion there was, Brennan, was called the fig leaf religion. See, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16 says there's a way, same as right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It looks all right till you get to the end.
Yeah.
Then when you get to the end,
Amen.
It ain't right, and you can't do nothing about it. That's why you want to choose right, do right, and live up right. But anyway, they made the first religion. It's a fig tree religion, and it's great. It pleased Adam. It pleased Eve. They strutted up through that little fig tree apron. Oh, hey, we're doing pretty good until God showed up. See, that's one thing about religion. Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 7 about false religion. They please man. He talked about verse 14, for all the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in there, and there's the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. But he went on to verse 15, says, beware of false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Then he goes on a little further, which Brother Eric posted this on the Facebook page there. About, you know, they'll stand before God one day and God will say, I never knew you. I mean, they look good. They preach good. Hey, they cast out devil. They done everything good. Only problem was, he didn't know them.
That's right.
He knows me, Sierra. He knows me as of 33 years ago, April 27th, 1988. I didn't know him until that day right there. I called upon him, the rich in mercy to all that call upon him. I never found so great a love in all my life.
Amen.
You know, we see Hollywood make movies about love, make you tear up. But boy, I really teared up. I mean, better than the fountain broke. I didn't realize how much somebody could love somebody as he loved me. He loved me enough to receive me. He loved me enough to forgive me. He loved me enough to save me. I knew nothing of him until I got saved. But for 33 years now, I've known love.
Amen.
It can't be put into words. There's been a million songs wrote. Brother Denny, but greater love has no man than this. It's the greatest love that a man lay down his life for his friend. His friend was a bunch of backstabbing sinners. I mean, I hate to say he couldn't depend upon them for nothing. Everything he asked them to do, they failed at. They didn't believe a word he said. They didn't do a thing he said. I mean, all it was a heartbreak. Troublesome heartbreak. But he still loved them. And he loved them unto the end. That great love, it's offered to all.
Amen.
Anybody wants that love can have it.
Yeah.
Hey, there's enough of that love to go around this world 100 times.
Right.
Bonnie, thank God for that kind of love.
Yes.
We got the superficial Hollywood love that loves those that love them and those that don't love them.
Right.
Well, they got now the cancel culture and woke and all that stuff, but they try to shut them out. They want them only to be recognized. They want them only to succeed. Man, I'm chasing rabbits like crazy. I've got to get this message. I'm looking at the clock back there, and I've got a lot of territory to cover. That first man, God loved him enough that he didn't kill him. As a matter of fact, God made him some real clothes. He clothed him with skins of animals. And really, the picture is Christ. You know, Christ, Paul talked about finding him not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. Christ put his righteousness on me 33 years ago. And see, what that means is now when God sees me, he don't see me in my sin. He sees me in the righteousness of his Son.
Amen.
I'm accepted in the sight of God now. I'm accepted in the Beloved now. And Casey, now, somebody said it's hard to go to heaven. No, it ain't hard to go to heaven.
No, it ain't.
It's just kind of hard to ask.
Right.
For God to forgive you. For God to save me.
Right.
But my pastor put it in real good terms one day, says Joanne. He said to go to heaven without Christ, you'd have to be able to walk up alongside Christ and say, I'm just as righteous as he is. Now when you take scripture to that, you realize in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What that means is you can't measure up. You can't make it. But he measured me up.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm in the family of God.
Amen.
My citizenship is heaven. I'm already seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
That's called the gift of God.
Right.
You can't get it at Walmart. You can't order it from Amazon. God gives it.
Yeah.
That first man, Tammy, God loved him. God confirmed him. God chastened him.
Mm-hmm.
He put a little curse on him. Said, you're going to sweat now, boy. You ain't going to have it made no more. You're going to have to learn your living down the sweat of your face. And he confronted Eve and kind of chasing her a little bit, but he didn't kill her. Then you got another bonehead. His name's Cain. And God warns him, just like he warned Adam and Eve. He said, hey, if thou doest good, shall thou not be accepted? Cain was already jealous of his brother Abel. He's mad.
Man.
He hates his brother Abel because God accepted the offering of his brother Abel and he rejected his offering. You know, we all want to be accepted. And if you do want to be accepted, go to Jesus and say, hey, I want to be accepted in the family of God.
Amen.
The welcome mat on the threshold, the door's wide open.
Right.
Two nail-pierced hands are reaching out saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Take thy yoke upon you and learn of me. You'll find rest on your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. Jesus, amen, if you want to be accepted.
Amen.
John chapter 6, verse 37, he said, all that come to me, all that know what's coming away. You're guaranteed acceptance. And he went on also to say, John 5, 40, he said, you will not come to me that you may have life. See, he ain't no problem with his limb. He done promised. He said, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, I'll love you, I'll bless you. Got to come to me to get it.
Amen.
We'll go everywhere. We'll go to Dr. Phil. Man, we'll go to Dr. Peel. By the way, there is one pill that cures everything. It's called the gospel.
There you go.
Cures everything.
There you go.
I got completely healed 33 years ago. I'll tell you right now, you couldn't kill me with a bulldozer.
Amen.
Not flatten me out, but I'm still going to heaven. Amen. First class, special delivery.
Amen.
Like I said, I didn't mean to get out chasing rabbits, but I just wanted to get this point across. But whom God loves, he chastens. He chastened Adam and Eve. He chastened Cain. And when he chastened Cain, Cain got complaining, said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. And he put a mark on him. Said, go on. He didn't kill him. But like I said, I'm preaching on love. And when God loves someone, my mom and dad, they chasing me. Thank God they did. I was telling Donnie yesterday, I'm going to say this real slow. No God, no love.
That's right.
Amen.
Now that's K-N-O-W. Mm-hmm. And the other half of that is no God, no love.
Amen.
N-O. Amen. Because love is of God.
Amen.
God is love.
Right.
And I want you to know, I got the love of God abiding in my heart.
Amen.
And Paul said the love of God or love of Christ constrains us. And that's why I want to go to church. That's why I want to sing like Brenda back there. Amen.
Amen.
All this that's why I want to do right. Because I love Him who first loved me and gave Himself for me. And I love Him now for that very reason. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you know God, you'll know love. And if you don't know God, you'll never know love, because that's where it comes from. Amen. Jesus' first miracle that He does in John chapter 2, and I'm not going to read it because I've already realized that this is going to be a longer message than I anticipated. I was telling Sister Bonnie, I was kind of hoping it wouldn't be as long. She said, well, let the Lord lead Him. He's leading all right. And I'm in a hurry and He's not. But the first miracle Jesus did is found in John chapter 2. You can read verses 1 through 11. He's at the marriage of Cana and they run out of wine. And his mother comes to him, and you know how moms are. They just panic. She said, they got no wine. Put him on the spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She could have kind of said,
they run out of wine.
Well, she put him on the spot, didn't she?
Yeah.
Right.
So Jesus told him, said, go out. And this is a spiritual thing, really. It shows salvation.
Yeah. Amen.
See, when he turned that water into wine, Sybil, He made it a spiritual thing.
Yeah, that's right.
See, that wine is a spirit.
Yes, it
and
is.
And the six Fergusons, what's the number of a man?
Right.
Six.
Six.
So six water pots,
right,
filled to the brim.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, now go draw to the governor. And the governor right. tasted that and he said, you saved the best wine of the last.
Right.
You know, that's what's going to happen with us.
Yeah.
That's going to be the last.
Yeah.
I mean, that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
Brother Ed, she said, hey, amen. No, wait till we see what the best is. Amen.
Right.
Somebody
amen.
Said, somebody said, if heaven's this beautiful on this side, can you imagine how beautiful it is on the other side? Amen.
Right.
Oh my, I can't wait to see the other side. Hallelujah. But anyway, the first miracle he did, he kind of got put on the spot, but he really made a spiritual application when he turned the water into wine. Because it's like being saved, being born again. It changed its whole nature. See, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because He turned me from water into wine. Amen. But Jesus went about, and as He went about, He taught love. And I do want to read this. Oh, I can't quote all these verses. Oh my, too much territory in this Bible and too little of a brain in my head. But in Matthew chapter 5, I want to read these verses real quick. In verse 38. Yeah, we'll start right there. Matthew 5, verse 38. He said, you heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that's what we want to do. I mean, I'll show you. Who do you think you are? Come over here and say it. I mean, that's the way we are.
That's right.
I have to admit, I've had to kill Eddie Waitress many times. I can't believe he's still alive. Paul said, I die daily. I've had to crucify this flesh. I don't know how many times I keep wanting to double these fists up. Roll these, I still got that old man to deal with.
That's right.
But the Lord here, teaching about love here, He said, you've heard it said, an eye for a tooth. Sounds fair, don't it? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And that'd be pretty hard. But I'm going somewhere this, so bear with me. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. You've heard it said, that have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now he gave a great discourse right there on loving the unlovable. I've been trying to do that. It's not as easy as it sounds.
That's right.
I ought to be a pile of lumber and could have run, drove all the way up there and paid for it, loaded it, brought it back home, set it in the backyard back there, and my neighbor over there, he was over there talking with me, and I told him, I said, well, when I get my trailer down there, I said, you can have what's left to do your trailer. And he evidently only heard what he wanted to hear, so on Saturday, me and Donnie went to get something, I don't know what, but went, or me and Brother Ed, somebody. Anyway, when I came back home, my lumber's gone. And you know what? The one thing I wanted to do was go over and say, where's my lumber at? I said, mine. I bought it just for this trailer. We sold the trailer yesterday, by the way. But anyway, trying to be a good neighbor, trying to practice what the Lord told me to do.
Amen.
I just kind of let it run out of my back like water off a duck's back, but it didn't really go away. But I'm still trying to love my neighbor, and some people are easier to love than others are. But if that wasn't enough, yesterday he brought my lawnmower back and he wrecked the back of it and tore the breather off of it and everything. I said, that ain't no big deal, I can fix it. You know, he didn't do it on purpose. The other could have been a misunderstanding. I don't know, but I'm still trying to love it.
Amen.
See, we need to practice love. I seen on Facebook yesterday, Sierra, there's a woman, her house got destroyed in a fire.
Amen.
She said, if y'all could just help us in any way, we need a refrigerator. My daughter died last year, October the 23rd, and all of her belongings are in storage, and I'm paying $60 a month on it. And there's a real nice refrigerator in there, ice maker and everything. Two-sided, whatever you call it. I called her up, I said, you need a refrigerator? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, I've got one. She said, how much is it? I said, it's free. I don't need it. And she started crying. I said, look, lady, I said, I'm just trying to help you. I've got something you need, and you can have it. And I was kind of hoping I wouldn't have to move it. She won't get her apartment. They're moving to Cave City. They won't get moved in this coming Friday next week. She said, no, we'll move it. I said, great. Because I was going to move it. Dolly, I was going to move it. I will. Now, I'm trying to practice loving people.
That's right.
It must be the hardest thing in the world there is to do. But anyway, I didn't need this refrigerator. I'm paying $60 a month because the stuff in there, I ain't really got nowhere to put right now. Need to have this open door. So anybody need anything, come get it. Come here. But a gesture of love, I gave her that refrigerator. Real nice refrigerator. Real new refrigerator. Just didn't need it. And she got a little girl and just trying to help. I'm driving down the road. Here's somebody with a sign up. Help me. My house burnt down. Must be an epidemic. I don't know. I pull up everybody, roll my window down. This girl come walking over. And I gave her $100 bill. And she said, are you sure? I said, it was mine to give. It's yours now. She started crying. Just trying to love people.
Amen.
Trying to show love.
No, you appreciate
it. I don't have a lot.
That's right.
But I do have a lot of love. You see this tie I got on right here? Guess where it come from? Sybil gave it to me.
Amen.
Looked pretty good. She gave it to me. It was hers and she gave it to me. Now I'm wearing it. Amen. I got another tie that Sharon gave me. I got more ties, I guess, than the president's do, but they gave them to me. And you know what? It's more blessed to give, the Bible says, than it is to receive. But look, we can all love a little bit, but Jesus loved a lot. Amen.
Amen.
He had to go through hell to do it, but I'll tell you what, buddy, he left a mark of love on this world.
Amen.
Do you know he washed those disciples' feet? John chapter 13, verse 5 through 12.
Yeah.
I love Brother Donnie, but I ain't going to wash his feet. They probably like mine. They stink and look ugly too. But he got down and washed their feet.
That's right.
You know why he did? He's trying to show love, Brother Ed.
That's right.
He's their master. And he said, if I be your master, wash your feet, go do likewise.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, it's hard to show love anyway, but he showed a great effort in his desire to show love. He humbled himself. He's their Lord, their master, and washed their feet. He told us if we didn't forgive men their trespasses, that our Heavenly Father wouldn't forgive us our trespasses. Look, I'm going to be guilty of enough when I get to heaven. But one thing I don't want to be guilty of is straining a gnat just to swallow a camel. I mean, that wood, it worked out. I got enough wood. It didn't cost me a penny to finish the trailer. I still got wood to spare. I kind of wish my neighbor had done right. He didn't, but it's all right. And you know, for lack of better words, we still come out all right on that. But we've come down to a day that a five-year-old boy just got shot in the back seat of his mother's car from road rage. Now you see why I'm going somewhere with this message.
Amen.
We've got a lack of love.
That's right.
And people are wronging one another.
Yeah, they are.
More so than I can even imagine.
Amen.
I remember my dad back when I was young, Brother Mitchell, he'd sleep out in the front yard on a chaise lounge.
Yeah.
You do that now and you wake up with a knife in your head or in your back. I'm just telling you.
That's right.
There's a lack of love.
Yeah.
Now we got plenty of this Hollywood hypocrisy type love. I'm talking about real love. When I was a little boy, I was riding my bicycle to hunt arrowheads. And I stopped right below the hospital and there was a restaurant there. I'm barefooted on a 20-inch Renegade bicycle. Probably gave $2 for it. Anyway, I go in there and then I'm dirty. And I asked this lady in there, I said, can you fix me something to eat? I'm hungry. She gave me a broom. She said, you go sweep that front porch off and it'll be done when you get done. And I walked down, swept that front porch off, and that woman fixed me a big cheeseburger and ordered French fries. Man, they don't make them like that now. And I'll tell you what, as a little dirty, toe-headed boy, she loved me, Bonnie. She said, you go sweep that front porch out, son. Sweep it off, and I'll fix you something to eat. We got to get back to that.
That's right.
Right.
You know,
we're
shutting the door on opportunity.
Yes, uh-huh.
I'm so glad that Johnny brought Sarah with him. That's the first thing I thought of. I thought, boy, it took some effort. I met you somewhere before, hadn't I? You sure remember a mug like this. I do remember meeting her somewhere. I wish there by my brother coming. It seemed like I've met you somewhere before. But I'm even more happy to see you here.
That's
we're
right.
Talking about love. And you know what? We're running short on it. We need to have a surplus, a backup, a reserve tank or something. Because I'm telling you, this world, it's needing an act of love.
That's right.
There was a woman one time infatuated with a man. I'm going to try to be discreet here. But the man told her if she'd get rid of her kids, that he'd have something to do with it. She loaded her kids up in a station wagon, took down the road, turned around with a pistol and shot all of her kids. Two of them lived. One of them testified against her in the court of law. They put that little girl on that stage up there and she'd been shot in the chest. That little girl up there on the witness stand up there and they asked her about what her mama did. That little girl broke down and cried. She said, I know what my mama did was wrong. But I still love my mama.
Oh,
but they had to take that woman out of that courtroom. She realized she'd sinned against love.
Amen.
Sure. All they need is love. That's all they need, sunshine and love.
Amen.
They're kids. We keep trying to make adults out of them.
Right.
They're just children. They're going to mess up.
Amen.
They're going to make mistakes. You just clean them up, love them, kiss them, say, be careful.
Amen.
Yeah, they're kids. We somehow, you know that, what was that girl, Ramsey girl, They got her all dressed up and freely dressed. Next thing you know, she's dead. Yeah. Let them be kids.
Right.
Really. Dirtier, probably the better. They're kids.
Right.
Man, I mean, they like to play. Let them go out. Hey, if they spill it, don't cry over it. Clean it up and say, thank you, Lord. My pastor told me one time, he said, better's a dirty stall and an ox therein than a clean stall and no ox. He said, it's just part of it.
Right.
Ain't no sense crying over spilled milk. Just clean it up and say, praise God, I'm glad I got something to clean up.
Amen. Right.
Jesus, He taught this world love. They didn't pay attention. When He came down here, He gave great lessons on love. I can't even put it in my head that a young boy, 5 years old, is shot in the back seat of his mother's car from road rage.
Yeah.
I can't believe a 6-year-old girl sitting in line at McDonald's is shot and killed.
Right.
What's wrong with us? We've dropped the ball big time.
That's for sure.
We've lost the message of love.
We have.
We've got to find it back.
Amen.
Man, find somebody you don't even know who they are and try to help them. You know, don't be... man, old Chuck Barber, he come here a while back. We kind of got in a discourse over this verse about not casting pearls for swine. And Chuck, he's innocent. But he came up to me and said, what do you think this verse means about not casting pearls for swine? I said, well, you know, Chuck, I never really thought about that verse much. I don't know. And Chuck, bless his heart, he's as humble as they come. He said, well, I'll tell you what I think it means. And he said, I think it means, you know, that we are just witness to those that the Lord leads us to witness to, not witness to everyone that comes by. And I received that the wrong way and blew up. I told him, I said, I'm going to witness everybody standing still long enough for me to witness. And I overdid it, got mad. And he knew I was mad. And he came up to me and said, everything all right? And here I am at the boiling point. I'm fine, Chuck, I'm fine. And I'm boiling over mad. Jesus said, blessed is he not offended in me.
Yeah.
He said, war in the world because of our offenses. Then if you want to go one step further, Psalm 119, verse 165, said, great peace have they that love thy law,
Amen. And
nothing shall by any means offend them. That'd be a good thing to be able to have, not be able to be offended. But anyway, I got offended. And I'm mad. And a miserable day, everything went wrong. You couldn't have got it worse. On the way home, I stopped by the church to pray. And I went in there, and sometimes I can pray pretty good. This is one of them. I went in there, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I have messed up royally. I said, I am so sorry. Man, I knew I was wrong, Casey. I didn't want to admit it. And I told the Lord, I said, I'll tell you what, I don't really know myself what that verse means. But I'm going to drive home, and I'm going to ask my wife, and whatever she says, I'm going to take it as coming from you.
Amen.
I drove home, I couldn't wait. I got in the house, my wife, she's cooking supper, and I said, Dottie, I said, what do you think this verse means? Not casting pearls for swine, and lo and behold, like the sheep that bellowed out against Saul, she said, well, I think it means y'all not witness to everybody, just those that the Lord leads you to. And I just walked on back to the bedroom and put my white flag and said, I'm sorry. Went to church next day and tried to apologize to him. But you know what? Perfect love is not offendable.
Amen.
Perfect love, it's bulletproof. You just love them.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't take it personal.
Amen.
You don't want to square off. You don't want to, what'd you say again? I'm just telling you, we're lacking on the subject of love. I can already tell this is going to be a 2-Sunday message. I ain't even past the first point. Oh my. We got too much carnage, too much collateral from lack of love. And you know, these children, they expect us to set the right example. And here you got, you know, the husband's fighting with the wife. He's right, she's wrong. She's over there, she's right, and he's wrong. And you know, they're back to back. Ain't neither one going to give an inch.
Amen. Bless us, Lord.
It just ain't worth it. I remember my mom and my dad got in a real bad fight one time.
But then Mama, she didn't win, so she went to the restaurant. She went to the bedroom and shut the door. I had this little towhead. I went in there going to try to patch things up. So I went in there, Mama laying in bed crying. I said, Mama, I love you. And you know, it wasn't really a good time. And she kind of vented on me a little bit. She said, you don't know what love is. And that was true. But she didn't need to say that to me. I'm just trying to help.
Amen.
But that left a little bitty scar.
Right.
And she was right. I didn't know what love was.
Right.
But I cared about it. I was just trying to help, just a kid.
Trying to help.
Probably 6 or 7 years old. Right. I don't know. But, I mean, they fought every day. It's hard to remember them all. But I do remember going there and saying, Mama, I love you. And like I said, it wasn't a good time. And then he didn't do right. Oh, my.
Amen.
I kind of like to do that one more time.
Right.
And this time make better decisions, be more helpful. I may have been part of the problem. Heck, I don't know. Lord. But you only get one shot at life. You got one chance to do right. One chance to live right. What do we do?
Mess it up.
Have you noticed that's the biggest thing now?
That's
right.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we're preoccupied. If the Lord come at the rapture, what are we going to do, Brother Ed's got to take it right now. But we're so preoccupied with them little square things, what are we going to do? I just heard him talking about that girl that got killed that was jogging.
Yeah.
And she had them earbuds in, mm-hmm. and she didn't know anybody was even around. This guy was behind her. He ended up killing her, and Ashley, something, I can't remember her name, but you see, we're preoccupied.
That's right, yeah.
It's kind of hard to get a word in. And like I said, we're failing miserably on this subject about love. Oh my, that 5 points on there, I ain't got through the first one yet.
Right, amen.
But we've got to learn how to love. I don't know where we need to go to school at other than, I guess, let's look to Jesus.
That's right.
Because he perfected love. He loved all. They sent people to arrest him. They come back without him. They said, where is he? And they said, never a man spake like that man.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, he just loved them all, Brenda.
That's right.
He just loved them.
Amen.
And they couldn't do nothing with him. You know, it is kind of hard to fight against love.
Yeah, it is.
You never win fighting against love.
No, you don't.
You really can't. Love always wins.
Right.
And if you can learn to love, and if you can perfect loving others, some people are unlovable. I'm one of them. I try. I'll tell you what, I mess up so much, I guess I've got to go to school myself. Man, you just say one word wrong, and here it is.
That's right. Amen.
Let me give you a good example of love right here. The youngest granddaughter, she's real young, probably 4 or 5 years old. And she was getting ready to leave, we shared visitation. She was getting ready to leave, go be with her dad. And we hate to see her leave, Sharon. We love to see her come, but we hate to see her leave. And my wife, she loaded her up, and they headed out. I thought, well, they're gone, you know. So I go back there to the back of the house, to the back bathroom. We got a huge bathroom, and we got a pretty good sized bathroom other than the house. So anyway, I'm back there. I had been there in no time. And all of a sudden, this, you know, little ones, they don't knock like this. They're just kind of in a hurry. So she knocks on the door. She said, Pop, you in there? I said, yeah, honey, I'm in here. She said, how long are you going to be? I said, well, probably a little while, honey. I just got in here. I'm sitting there thinking, we got 2 bathrooms. You know what I mean? Go use the other. But I'm kind of numb here. I'm not really plugged into what's really going on. So about 2 seconds. And here we go again. Pop, how much longer? I still ain't got this. And I said, honey, a couple more minutes. And then she knocked again. Enough. It's up to here. I open that door. And these little bony arms reach up and put around my neck. And she kissed me. She said, Papa, I wanted to kiss you and love you before I left. Then the fool,
amen.
The fool, as she run to be with Grandma, went to the bedroom and cried about an hour. Finally got where I could talk again. That's a lesson on love. We're missing it. We've got to learn how to love again. The right kind of truth. I mean, if it's real, you can't mess it up.
That's right.
God help us to love again.
That's right.
You know, those Ten Commandments up there, Jesus said they're summed up in two.
That's right.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbors yourself, and we fail miserably. I don't know why I'm picking on you today. I hope you don't take it personally. But we've got to learn to love. And if you want to learn how to love, look to Jesus, because He showed the greatest love that this world has ever seen. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you want eternal life, you're going to have to get in touch with Jesus. Because that's where it comes from. He gave His life a ransom. I was being held ransom, Sierra. There was a man holding me hostage. His name's Satan, the devil.
That's right.
But Jesus gave His life a ransom. And then you know what happened, Casey? He went up and demanded my release. I'm free indeed.
Amen.
Whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed.
Amen.
I got set free. He took my place. He said, "I'll pay the price.
Amen.
I'll die in His stead." And I'm kind of like Barabbas. I got to go free.
Yeah.
Good deal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've been free now for 33 years. But it took love to bail me out of the mess I was in. Yeah, I'm going to have to finish this message down without about it. We're just going to hit on a few things here. Like I said, if you miss out on love, you miss it all.
That's right.
And if you want to know real love, find Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Make Him your Lord and your Savior.
Amen.
He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "Lo, I'm with you, always, even to the end of the world." But if you go to the world, and all you know is Hollywood's love, all you know is this superficial love. Somebody wrote a song, "Oh Love, That Will Not Let Me Go." It's got a tragic testimony behind it. Man was getting ready to get married, and his fiance died. I think the day that he's going to get married or something like that. He went and wrote this song, "Oh Love, It Will Not Let Me Go." And we've got to get back to loving. And all we do that is get back in touch with Jesus. I don't know if we need to just have a good old-fashioned prayer or a cry. What we need to do. But I'll tell you what, we're not going to go too far without love.
No, we're not.
Somebody said an older preacher... His health got in decline, and he had stepped down from a church, and a younger preacher come in and took his place. And the younger preacher, all he ever heard was, "Well, brother so-and-so did it this way."
Yeah.
He did it that way. And it kind of hit him wrong, and so he got the church books out, and he found the oldest member on the books. And he went up this long holler, down this little shanty cabin up on the hill there. An old man sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, and he went up there, and he was kind of full of himself and kind of in the wrong spirit. But he asked that man, he said, "What was so special about brother so-and-so?" The man looked out towards the sunset. He turned back, his eyes full of tears, and he said, "Oh, he just loved us." And somebody else said, "People don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care."
Yeah.
Love
is
a language
that
everybody understands.
Amen.
Yeah. If you can do something in love, it won't be misunderstood.
Right.
But if you've got another motive, it might be found out.
Right.
Just learn how to love.
That's right.
Like I said, I guess it's going to be a part one of I don't know how many part messages, but I didn't get past the first point.
Right.
But we'll stop right there. Father, we thank You for what, Lord, You brought to our mind, Lord, in this message. And Lord, I pray, God, You'd make it real in our heart. I pray, God, it not go over our head. Lord, it just seems like we're too busy.
seem like, Lord, we're just so preoccupied, Lord, that the weightier things are forgotten. And I pray even today, Lord, you'd help us to make some headway, gain some ground on this subject matter of love. Lord, I believe the world's at a deficit. I believe they're in need of seeing what real love is. And I pray you'll help your children, Lord. That, Lord, we'd somehow give forth that kind of testimony that we love people, no matter what color they are, no matter what they've done. No matter, Lord, we want to love them. We want to welcome them. We want to try to help them. I pray you'll help us to be known, even as a little church, we might be known for being big in love. We'll ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please, and get Brother.
Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
I just thought a song that would go with this message that you just preached today. Love lifted us.
Love lifted me. I think it's the name of that song.
Yeah, love lifted me.
Yeah. That would be a good song if you want to sing it, Brother Jerry. He's a song leader. I'll let him make a decision. But Love Lifted Me, I believe, is the name of that song.
Yeah,
but if him and Sister Sharon would come sing us an invitational.